This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 5:05 in the evening, and first things first, welcome back from the long weekend, everyone. I think I'm curious to know how many of you actually went to work today? because our office is so quiet.
It is, and a lot of people took half days.
Yes, exactly. And judging from the roads, I think a lot of people took advantage of, you know, this sort of Monday and Wednesday public holiday and took Tuesday off as well. Just let us know, a quick poll. You can make us feel worse for being at work by letting us know whether you work today or whether you are on leave. WhatsApp us 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio. Now, for our first story of the day, we're looking at the R&D or the research and development landscape in Malaysia. We're spending about 1.3% of our GDP in this, but the returns perhaps aren't as productive as it should or could be. For the amount we're spending, for example, we're producing far fewer innovations than Finland, who actually spends three times less than we do.
Though it should be pointed out that we're on the low end when it comes to spending. More developed nations, on average, spend about 3% of their GDP on R&D. But according to the Galen Center for Health and Social Policy, we're not making the maximum use of it, and it's because of several hurdles that we face. One main issue is with our talent pool. We don't have enough STEM graduates. We set a target of about 500,000 graduates, but we only have just about 68,000. A lot of them are also unemployed because they lack communication and language skills.
That's quite a shocking disparity, isn't it? 500,000 is the aim, 68,000 is the outcome, because that's less than a fifth.
We are way under the mark that we're trying to achieve.
Yes, I wonder what the barriers are there. I mean, aside from communication and language, because it seems to me that there would be a barrier to entry in the first place, right? In universities, there's also, of course, the issue where students who are STEM students in the first place aren't exposed to the concept and advantages of intellectual property rights. They also don't see the commercial value of patenting local products. And this problem is carried on when they begin working as well. Malaysians, for example, only own 15% of IP rights in the country. The rest are by foreigners.
And there is, again, in any situation we face, bureaucracy for the industry as a whole, where there are multiple agencies within governments, within companies involved in IP matters.
What interests me about this story is that when we say R&D, it can't serve as a blanket term because it happens across different industries, right? So when we're saying we're spending on R&D, I'm curious actually as to where that money is going and at what level it's entering the playing field, at what level it's entering the picture. Is it only happening on an industrial level? Is it also occurring as an investment for research grants for university students? Is it also going to go into strengthening STEM or the science stream within our, or not the science stream, pardon me, the science subjects within our education system? Where is that money going?
Yeah, and on that note also, when it comes to R&D, where exactly are we putting that money into in terms of the levels of developments and innovations that we do come up with? Is it with just minor improvements on improving existing machines? Or is it really great innovations, new inventions that can in fact impact many lives? So when we say the returns of it, sure, maybe in financial terms it isn't doing great, but are we then also not making as much impact in the creations that we come up with here in Malaysia?
Yeah, fair point. Also, Finland is the comparison point, but there are also lots and lots of countries that have a very vibrant R&D scene, or are at least thought of or known as innovative countries. And I'm curious as to what the disparity is for us to become thought of or to enroll ourselves right in that club. How do we become an innovative country? What is stopping us from getting there? I mean, we've listed a couple of reasons. The lack of STEM graduates is one.
Yeah.
The lack of language proficiency is another perennial problem. But overall, it doesn't feel to me as if we are... You don't look around and see Malaysian innovations changing the landscape of our city or changing the way we do things. And it would be nice to have that, wouldn't it?
Yeah, because right now it does feel like we're just the ones, whichever country has come up with something very amazing, we're the ones producing it. We're not the ones creating it. We've become the producers for the creators.
Yeah, and And that is something that, I mean, when we look at what the Prime Minister says, right, we want to be a nation of, we want to be manufacturing, we want to make, we don't just want to consume. But do we also want to innovate, right? That's the next level up beyond that. Let us know what you think. What will it take for us to become a country of innovators? What is holding us back at the moment? Call us at 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. We have a message that's come through from Jason saying, I feel it's more towards KPI and no close monitoring in regard to low returns on R&D.
That could be a case also that because perhaps there isn't a better tracking system once you do receive the grants, once you do receive the funds to grow your project. And though monitoring is one, though I do think that we should be welcoming attempts at innovation, even though they fail.
Jason's point is getting to what I was saying earlier, though, which is that when we say R&D, it really feels like a very vague blanket term.
True.
What is the KPI? Like, is there a standard for what we would all consider a successful piece of innovation? It's just an interesting, because the word captures a lot of different things. Again, let us know. Call us at 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. We want to know, what do you think it is that's holding us back from being a nation known for, built on innovation? We also asked you earlier whether you're at work, because we are, clearly. And Jemima Clark on Twitter said, a lot of us at work were at the office today. So, yay. Again, you can message us, tell us, were you on leave? Are you on the second last day of a very long weekend, or did you go to work?
A 5-day holiday.
Yes, it's lovely. Up next, we're going to be speaking with our guest, Ali Salman, who is CEO of IDEAS, the Institute for Democracy and Economic Affairs, to kind of explore this idea of innovation in more detail. Keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Become fabulous millionaires. BFM 89.9.
It's the Evening Edition with Lynn and Kelvin. We're talking today about innovation in our country, because while we spend 1.3% of our GDP on research and development, it would appear that it's not paying off as much as, for example, a country like Finland, which spends three times less than we do. So we're asking you, what do you think it's going to take for us to become an innovative country? What's standing in our way? Also, are you on leave or did you work today? Just throwing that in there. Call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. We're crossing over now to Ali Salman, CEO of IDEAS, the Institute for Democracy and Economic Affairs. Ali, thanks for joining us this evening. So we seem to take innovation for granted almost. Can you walk us through how innovation actually comes to be?
Well, innovation starts with an attitude of problem solving. By problem solving, I mean that the innovators are able to bring out new products and services on the factory floor or a laboratory, which can improve our productivity, which can solve our problems, and which can do things in a better and more efficient manner. And this certainly requires the right set of skill, the right set of education, but also requires the incentives as well as the right attitude to begin with.
Where should we be ideally with the amount we spend on research and development each year? What should the rate of innovation in the country be?
Well, if we compare the public expenditure on the R&D, it's substantial, actually. It's about 1.3% of GDP, which Malaysia is spending on R&D currently, which goes about to be about 16 billion ringgits every year. This is not a small sum of money. Just to give you a perspective, Finland, a smaller country, spends about one-third of this amount and produces, last year it produced 26,000 patents, whereas Malaysia produced about 7,000 patents. And so this will give you a perspective of where we are spending quite a lot, but not getting the expected result from this expenditure.
So how should we gauge the actual value, I suppose, of R&D as well as innovation?
The essential benchmark of innovation, let's say in the case of Malaysian economy, can be seen in our manufacturing supply chain. Malaysia has been an industrialized country, but it is mostly contributing in the assembly setups. In the total value addition, which our exports currently is based on, is about 7%. And I think this indicates a relatively low number in terms of value addition of research. And to increase this percentage to let's say, double this percentage of value addition, we certainly need to invest more in the right kind of innovation and R&D incentives.
Is Malaysia falling behind in the world of innovation, or I guess were we ever a major competitor to begin with? What are other countries doing that we aren't?
I mean, if you consider the fact that, for instance, Malaysia is the world's largest producer of rubber latex gloves, for instance. But do we know the brand name? Is Malaysia known for its brand? Because innovation and branding are closely associated. So I think the kind of economic model Malaysia has developed over the last 30, 40 years is not essentially innovation-centric. It's based on economies of scale. It's based on the cost structure. It's based on cheap labor. And therefore, I would not consider that Malaysia has been there in the league of innovators yet. It doesn't mean to suggest that, of course, we cannot be, because in the past, these countries, Korea, Taiwan, for instance, were also copycats, to quote it rather crudely, but they later on graduated and came on to more innovative path. What I find particularly lacking here is the talent pool. If we don't have the right kind of talent, right kind of S&T graduates, we are not going to compete with other countries in innovation. I think this talent can be homegrown, talent can be brought from outside, but the absence or the rather lack of this talent is currently the key obstacle.
So we've had agencies like MAGIC and Agency Inovasi Malaysia in the past. What role do they play in spurring innovation in the country?
Well, actually, we do have both agencies currently in place, and they have been reactivated. And so they are working in their own particular domains. I would rather suggest that I think we have too many of them and working in silos. There are multiple reports and policy frameworks in which science and technology and R&D is mentioned. But many of these agencies and ministries are working separately, and they are not working in a cohesive and in a harmonious manner. So I think this is not we will not say that we need to spend more or we need to create more agencies. I think we need to have a better, more modernized legal infrastructure in place. For instance, we are told that the government is tabling a bill for the modernization of our Patent Act. Now, this has been pending for a number of years. And this, unless we improve the legal environment to a level of other developed nations, we cannot expect the same level of innovation to happen.
Are we doing enough to inspire more innovation among Malaysians?
Well, someone can mention, for instance, the role of education. Someone can also mention about how important it is to invest in the future generation of S&T graduates. Malaysia committed to produce 500,000 S&T graduates who are focused on innovation about 7 or 8 years ago, but we are far from that target. We have produced in the last 7-8 years about 70,000 of S&T graduates, and unfortunately, many of them are unemployed. Actually, the unemployment rate in the S&T graduates is amongst the highest amongst the youth who are unemployed. So this is this means that it's not a question of simply inspiration and education. There are issues on the demand side, on the private sector, which are not absorbing and utilizing the skill set which is available in the market.
And Ali, just to bring it back to where we started, I guess, how necessary is innovation to a country's development, and what does it really mean for a country?
Innovation is central to economic development, and especially when it comes to the next level of development for countries like Malaysia, which is said to be in the middle-income trap. We need innovation to graduate to a developed country status. Just to give you a perspective, about 30 or 40 years ago, the major value of U.S. corporate and the capital market was driven by their physical assets. But now 80% of their value comes from the soft assets, which is their IP and their branding. And I think that is the direction other Southeast Asian or Northeast Asian countries have taken. And this is where Malaysia needs to go forward to really make innovation as a central pillar of its development plan for the future. The countries which have exhibited better performance on innovation are the ones who have also provided a degree of certainty and degree of predictability to its investors who are looking for strong protection of their brands. And often it can mean that the that Malaysia should be able to strictly follow the rules and regulations which the organizations like TRIPS impose. And this is one of the, I think, important measure which can actually identify the further steps for innovation.
Ali, thanks for speaking with us. That was Ali Salman, CEO of Ideas, weighing in on the subject of innovation and how to perhaps encourage a little more innovation in Malaysia. So we've been asking you that question as well. What do you think is standing between us and being an innovative country? Call us with your thoughts, 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. We have Tan Huai Keith here saying, creative thinking in schools and encouraging kids to think out of the box.
That's true, and that's fair. I think at the moment we don't really have enough of those subjects. We're still, unfortunately, very much focused on rote learning that doesn't really have room for critical thinking.
And that comes back to our earlier point also about, so we're spending that amount, 1.3% of our GDP, but where?
Yeah.
Where is that money actually flowing into? And is it reaching down to that level, right? Creative thinking in schools, in universities, is it going there or is it staying upwards only at an industrial? Because I think if you're investing at the end point, it's probably not good enough.
No, and you kind of have to start from where, you know, to grow that talent pool, as Ali Salman mentioned earlier, that we do need to have the brains to be able to create those products. And if we don't start there, is there, you know, what value really is there in just putting that money, making it available, and then nothing much comes out of it?
Chi Chung says, the country is losing its brightest mind to others via scholarships. Local universities are not even taking in the best of the best. Again, another commentary on education in our country. David says, no way there are jobs for 500K STEM grads.
That is the wish they have. And whether to have them as graduates, yes, but not sure as employees, we're not sure.
Yes, and also, don't worry about it. We're only at 68,000. I think that is the bigger concern at the moment. Ong says, how to encourage innovation while our policies in many aspects, such as education, economy, employment, key positions in government agencies and GLC, are all race-based. Talking about talent pool, we just need to look into key positions in Talent Corp, the agency that is supposed to attract talents. Does its management team and board reflect diversity?
I'm hoping that it eventually will, because when they released an economic, econs-based program last week, it was meant to be on the matter of shared prosperity, and the language was pretty neutral. Well-being and a decent living standard for Malaysians. So hoping that will translate into our education system, that will also translate into any other area where, you know, R&D and everything else is involved.
Zaidi says, we do have a lot of R&D findings, such as coconut fiber-based bulletproof vests. That's cool. Palm oil branch-based car dashboards and palm fiber food containers. Somehow, the R&D findings by local universities aren't being commercialized. And that speaks to the point we were talking about earlier about patents and about IP understanding, right? Knowing that, hey, this is going to be valuable. I need to file everything I need to do in order to hold on to this as an intellectual property.
Then that becomes a conversation of which ministry is involved with R&D. Is it solely just the MESTECH ministry, for example? Because you do, in this case, need to loop in the entrepreneur minister, because he will be, and his team and his agencies and all that, we'll be able to provide that expertise and knowledge on, okay, I have this great product, how do I sell it?
Ling says, I think it's the elephant in the room being the thing that is standing between us right now and a developed country. The bright minds are all overseas. On Twitter, Zulkifli says, on patents, just to note, we're also let down by bureaucracy and inefficiencies. I know of companies that applied for patents some 7 to 8 years ago and they're still pending. It's not the kind of environment we want.
Yikes, I wonder if that's just leading to the fact that we only have 15% local patents.
That's awful.
That's awful.
Yes, exactly. Especially if there's 7 to 8 years worth of patents just kind of waiting to be approved or waiting to be looked at. It's just an awfully long list. We've also been asking you whether or not you were working today or on leave. TK says, of course, on leave, plenty of leave to burn. Richard says, although I could take the day off and enjoy a longer weekend, I work today to enjoy the hustle and bustle free day. Constance says, I work today, teachers cannot take leave. I am now stuck in a traffic jam and it's raining cats and dogs, puppies and kittens. Keep talking to us. Let us know, were you working today? Were you on leave? Also, what's standing between us and becoming an innovative country? Call us with your thoughts, 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio.
Brainy, fancy material. BFM 89.9.
Early in the show, we were talking about innovation and Malaysia and what's kind of standing in our way of becoming a truly innovative country. We were also asking you whether you are on day 4 of a 5-day long weekend. Basically, did you take leave or have you been working today? Call us and let us know. 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. Right now on the line, we have Fabian. Fabian, good evening. What are your thoughts?
Hi, good evening, everybody.
Hello.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, yep. We can.
Yeah, okay, good evening. I was just listening to a show. I would like to comment that actually all this innovation starts with leadership. You see, I've been in the laboratory industry for close to 20 years right now, associated with German and Italian companies and European companies. And most of the time, we supply these instruments to these labs. Innovation, a lot of innovation starts from the lab. But the sad case is that some of these labs, they have budget. They have the people, but they don't have the direction. The direction comes from the leaders, from the people who are sitting on top of all these labs. And every time towards the end of the year, they say, okay, we have a few hundred thousand more to spend, everything less. Well, what shall we buy? So what the friends say is, they don't even know what to buy. When they don't know what to buy, then they just spend because they still have that budget. And they upgrade these instruments. And many a time, these instruments are like white elephants. They either only use 50% of the total potential of the equipment, or maybe the equipment's not good enough for their research. And I can say that these labs have millions of dollars worth of equipment which are redundant, put aside, and sometimes can be repaired, but they choose not to repair because they want to buy a new equipment. Now, coming back to this innovation thing, we are very far away from Finland and the Scandinavian countries for one simple factor. It's because they utilize their funds very carefully. And what I'm trying to say is that when they use their funds, they use their funds very wisely. Over here, we just buy whatever and whatever that we feel is good for the labs. Now, where is where is our education, minister playing a part in all this innovation thing? Is he in sync with all these relevant corporate companies who design and invent such equipment? Because everything starts from the education sector. If you're more interested in matriculation and all these things, and who suffers the brunt? The brunt is suffered by the R&D sector. R&D sector may have millions and millions of dollars, but to spend what? But what you going to spend it on? What? What's the direction? What you want to innovate? What you want to invent? This, as far as I've been in the lab, all I know is that they're just doing what they've been doing over the years, practically or almost the same thing. So, if you talk about innovation, we are very, very far away. I don't think we can keep on par with a lot of countries. But don't go far. Even if you go to a country like Singapore, supposed to be very good in innovation. I mean, very good in the technologies and all that. But they have R&D
focused industry.
Bioplace, right? There's nothing going on there. The reason is because it's the same thing.
Right.
What I feel is sometimes these top inventors and people who can invent such innovative products refuse to come to this part of the world to explore and to create something. So a lot of it also has to do with these innovators, who people who invent to come to this part as well.
Right. Fabian, thank you so much for sharing your thoughts. Unfortunately, we do have to move on, but I think that a lot of that comes down, sounds like there are several factors going in here.
Yep.
So there's issues of funding, there's issues of thoughtfulness, there's issues of people.
Guidance and leadership, it seems to come into the picture. Having a clear decision and clear motivation of what you want to do with those funds is very key in what Fabian was saying earlier as well.
Yes. Keep those thoughts coming. You can WhatsApp us 018-789-8899 and tweet us at BFM Radio.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.